Greetings, cyberspace, and welcome to episode 262 of the Double Density Podcast with your host, Brian and Angela. Double Density is your home to tech tales and paranormal primers. Now, first things first, Angela, I made this aware to you because we're just talking, but I am working on 4 hours of sleep. I'm still a little high. I had multiple alcoholic drinks last night. I went to another edition of a Shrek rave and had a blast. But now it is Saturday. It's like, what, like 1:30 in the afternoon. My body's still hitting me. What had happened, actually, is that I took an edible and it didn't activate until I had a snack when I got home. I guess it has to do with the stomach acid. And yeah, so I got a nice little surprise while on like winding down.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
What did you get up to?
I woke up.
Conversely,
I got up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to the sound of a cat vomiting. She's been puking a lot this week. And yeah, I guess it's the change in season. She threw up a lot of food this week. And oh no, what's wrong with the cat? And then this morning I discovered it was wrong. The biggest fur ball I've ever seen come out of this poor cat this morning. Yeah.
Do you give the paste?
Are
you
a paste I give person? Her the paste. Yeah, it helps. But it's that time of year where she's shedding a lot. So I gave her a nice combing this morning, some grooming beyond the self-grooming. I have one of those cool tongues you put on and I groom her with my face.
You know what?
I'm kidding.
You being a germaphobe, and then this like 180 totally makes sense to me. This is a new way to sort of create a relationship with your animals, right?
I have one of those things called the Furminator. It sort of has like has teeth and it kind of cuts the fur a bit and it really helps her. And so hopefully now that giant fur ball is gone, it's going to help.
Are you a compassion puker? Like you see someone else puke and
not with cats. No, like cat puke doesn't really smell, luckily, unless you get right into it. It's sort of like, I know. It sort of like just smells like their food, luckily.
Right.
But hopefully she stops puking. I also ordered something for her cat bowl, which will slow down her eating because I noticed that her food comes out whole, meaning she doesn't really chew it anymore because it's smaller. So I'm going to put something in her food bowl that slows down her eating, and hopefully that'll help with that too.
That's such a good plan. Also, I like how in the first 2 minutes we've addressed drugs, music,
cat vomit,
puking, all of the rock star things that you need to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing single dad this week, so that's been really fun too.
Well, I was going to say, like, you told me you didn't know what day of the week was briefly because you just sort of are out of it.
I'm on vacation, yeah. So my son and I have been alone while my wife and daughter are down south. It was a fun little boys' week and girls' week. So we can't wait to hear about them tomorrow.
Zero keckers for you, though.
No, it's been all about video games, TV. We watched Wonka yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and?
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it eventually.
I like that Timothée Chalamet.
I saw Dune 2.
How did you enjoy that?
I liked it a lot. Okay. Not as much as the first one. I still enjoyed it a lot.
Do you regret not going to the red carpet gala thing that you were invited to?
No, I'm okay because I saw it in 70mm, okay. So I actually made up for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that too. I'm watching Foundation right now on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. But in my head, I keep getting it confused with Dune because I keep expecting them to talk about Spice and they're not talking about Spice.
Have you read the Asimov series?
I bought it to aspirationally read. I have not read it.
I burned through like 4 or 5 of them all at once when I used to work at a pharmacy. On Saturdays when it got slow, I used to hide away in the shelves in the basement and just read for an hour.
Smart move. I'm trying to read more. I'm going through a phase now where I'm doing my nonfiction reading in the living room as I wind down to go to bed. And I read a bit before bed in my bed now. If that makes sense.
Are you going to see bed one more time or no?
I used to go straight to bed. And that worked pretty well, but I want to see how reading just before bed, in bed,
just tire the brain a little bit, right?
To help me lie down in bed.
So your bed is found in your home, Angela, correct?
In my home.
Your home isn't necessarily your home anymore, correct? Not you, but proverbially here.
Depending on what kind of house you move into.
Yeah, let's talk about living with ghosts. But not the type that you're thinking of.
We're not in paranormal. We're still in tech.
That is right. So walk me through this Verge article you sent over. And it's kind of topical because I just finished watching The Curse. But it's all about ghosts and the Internet of Things, essentially.
And we can talk about The Curse later. But what happens when you move into a house and there's lots of smart devices that are basically attached to the home? I'm looking for the word in English, and I only know the word in French, so I'm not going to say it. But
you
I mean,
can
like,
say the word here.
Like encastré, right? Like they're attached to the home, sort of like a...
Yeah, they're baked into the...
Yeah, basically. And you... So you have a light that the hub is somewhere in the house where you can't find, or... For my house, I don't really have many smart things, but I do have three Nest Protects that are the smoke alarms that are attached to the home. And I don't think I'd take those with me, but I would leave the courtesy of telling the person, hey, get this app. And I would likely, I guess, decommission them would be the right term, right? Like just reset them and take them out of my profile. But in this Verge article, the writer's brother-in-law moved into a house that the person had not done that. And there was lots of stuff that he couldn't get working.
Including an annoying issue with the blinds that closed at 8 p.m. and opened up during sunrise.
That would drive me crazy.
It would drive me crazy. It's just one of the many instances in which, like, there are surprises in the home when you buy a new home, especially as we continue to this era of, like, more and more, quote-unquote, like, automated or tech features within the home for everyday things continue to proliferate.
When I bought my home, there was nothing smart about it. The only, and now, like I said, I have my Nest Protects and I have a bunch of smart plugs and a couple of smart lights. But here in my office, I don't want the family to have to deal with that stuff too much. My son has a smart plug in his room because he likes having one. And there's a smart plug in the living room for the two lamps. But that's about it, really. And when I moved in here, the one surprise we had is that the people had neglected to tell us that the thermostat in our hot water tank was a bit wonky. And every once in a while, it would decide to shut itself off.
Completely normal behavior there.
Got that fixed pretty quick though, because when you
looked like you were about to cry though.
No, I had an itch. But when you when you go to shower and the water is cold, it's not fun. And then when I went to look at the hot water tank, I noticed, oh, they've left a screwdriver on top of this because it keeps resetting itself.
Clue number two, right? Yeah. Right after the ex owners tell you this.
Yeah. So the owners never told us this, so we kind of figured it out. But
right.
Luckily for us, that was like the only major like weirdness left over from the previous owners.
Double density.
What about you, Brian? In your so you're renting an apartment, correct?
That's correct.
Is there anything the owner of the building has left you with to deal with?
Nope.
Okay, so you're living in essentially a more standard home with switches on the wall that you actually can press with your button and things like that.
Correct. An AC unit with a remote, and then all of the heating here is button operated.
Okay, same here with our heating and air conditioning. Our air conditioners and heaters are the same unit now, and they're two units, and they both have a remote control. One of them, the more newer one we bought, could have Wi-Fi, and I happily said, "Oh, it's not included. Please don't add it to the price because I don't need that."
Yeah. I think the smartest thing in my home is my wife. There we go.
Oh, good
free
job.
Brownie points.
Well done. When
she probably won't even hear this, but that's okay. Yeah.
Our wives do not listen.
Well, mine will listen sparingly. But yeah, I am very reticent to get into the game here, well, especially one because I'm renting, but two if I ever own a home. I don't know. I am very weirded out by planned obsolescence for things, and I am exhausted by the idea of having to run around to keep all of my spinning plate gadgets running and operating just to enjoy the basic necessities.
That's why I asked in our show notes a question about, is there anything in our house that we don't quote unquote get? It sounds like you have nothing like that. In my house, it's not necessarily a smart thing, but the house alarm, I had it installed. We were with a company, but when we got rid of our landline, they wanted to charge us an extra $35 a month for a cellular connection. So we said no. So we still have a house alarm, but it's not necessarily connected to any central line, but it'll make a loud sound if somebody tries to break
it. Yeah, it's a deterrent.
It's a deterrent for sure.
Yeah.
The thing is that once we didn't have their actual services, of course, I'm not paying them, so they're not going to help me out. But when when it came time to like disconnect the actual phone wire I'd left it connected for years because who cares? It wasn't bothering anybody. But then it was in the way when I was changing internet services. And as soon as it disconnected that, the alarm started going off, which is not useful. And
so what ended up happening?
I had to like look through old internet forums and find something called an installer code for my alarm and fiddle with that for hours. And I was recently reminded of this when my battery for the alarm stopped working. So the battery lasts several years. And I'm like, I felt like I just put this in. And I looked. It was put in 2016, and it's said to replace by 2019. It is 2024.
Well, so I was about to say, good news, bad news.
Yeah. What's really funny, though, is the day before, and I guess this is synchronicity, if that's what you want to call it, I thought to myself, hey, that's great. The battery hasn't died yet. So I kind of set things in motion.
You're doing yourself. Exactly. Well, I mean, good news is you have these things like sort of top of mind at all times, I guess, because you like living in your home in a safe and free environment, correct?
Yeah, and I like to make sure things are working properly. And in the last like 10 years or 8 years since I got one of those batteries, they're readily available on Amazon for very little money. So I think I paid $25 and I got one the next morning, less than 24 hours. Thank you, Amazon Prime. You love Amazon Prime. You love consumerism.
Yeah, I'm a bootlicker. There are a lot of problems in wanting to believe in things like a smart home, I think. My biggest problem, of course, is that there is a capitalist side that requires you to spend money in order to use these features, right? So, you know, for example, if you buy something, part of your home, it has probably like a 2-year warranty, 3-year warranty, 5-year warranty.
Yeah, that's a really good warranty.
If you move out in year 6, though, the new owners have to contend with your technological mess whenever that comes up, because right, of course, the warranty, you can't transfer a warranty in most cases. So that's a bit of an issue there. That's one of the bigger things. And then also, like, you are sort of beholden to various companies and various manufacturers and various stakeholders that you have to deal with regularly and continually in order to keep your smart home smart.
Yeah, it's like, you know, those putting in speakers in the walls and stuff like that. It's great when they're new, but once something goes wrong with them, it becomes a bit of a hassle. That's why I kind of like having the HomePods in the house. It's the speaker in most of the rooms. And if something goes wrong with them, it's, you know, that's $100 to just replace a piece of thing like that's just sitting there and not a whole wall installation with wires behind the wall, right? Things like that. It makes me think of when I was a kid and you'd go to somebody's house who had the really, really old intercom system in their house.
Oh, yeah.
And you would ask what it was and they would always say it's broken.
Yeah, that is the case a lot of the time too, right? It's just like it's not worth going into the walls to figure out what is, you know, if it's a connection issue, you're having to rewire things, right? Like, what is what is using a speaker really, essential to everyday living here?
Exactly. Like, I have no ceiling in my basement, as you've seen many times when the camera pans upwards. And it's great because when there's wires to pass, I just kind of pass them. Like, I had to rewire a few things using Ethernet, and it's pretty easy. And when I finally do put a ceiling, it'll be one of those drop ceilings where I can still access the wires.
Right, where you can still hide bags of drugs.
If it comes to that, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good for you. I think you need to leave your options open with that kind of thing.
Always.
Right? Because it's not a high-tech solution, it's a low-tech solution.
Very low tech.
I do feel like a lot of the discourse surrounding the article, though, centers around the idea of the real estate industry needing to modernize. And I agree with this because a lot of the times there's no provisions, you know, in any kind of agreement between buyer and seller about listing off like a manifest of like what objects are where and giving as much information in terms of being able to hand over ownership of these items, right? Like, what's more annoying than having something in a wall that you can't connect to because you don't have admin privileges, so it just lives there?
Yeah, it's like, you know, a lot of the stuff that you get with a house doesn't necessarily come with an owner's manual. Most of them is straightforward, right, and pretty standard, like a hot water tank. You know, if you get a washer dryer, they're often like things that they can be replaced. But when it's stuck to your home, or things that you can't easily replace. Like, I wonder how easy those blinds would have been to replace. Or if, you know, the person, well, I have these smart blinds, I want to be able to use them, but they keep opening in inopportune moments.
Yeah. Usually you're naked, right?
Exactly. And it turned out that those issues were being caused by the fact that there was a company that was being used to create these things and put them in order and do these high-end smart homes that went bankrupt in like 2021.
Yeah. So that was another point I wanted to make, right, is not just the tech itself, but the way in which you could obtain the tech, right? All these different companies that, you know, you're never promised forever as a company, right, as a customer. So a lot of those things and agreements there may be in place for a couple of years. But yeah, let's say the company goes bankrupt. Then, like, what do you do with this tech, right? Like, how do you repurpose it? But the article lists off a good news about this particular issue.
Yeah, well, so fans of the company bought like the company after and created things on their own. Although still, I think it was his brother. His brother-in-law wasn't really interested in these solutions because it was a little more techie than he was wanting to do. Like, you had to put a Java applet on like a PC that that he may or may not have had, right? So it still was a little, you know, like bubble gum and like, what's the term? Like, where you
lollipop and bubble gum?
No, you put like something's held together by sticks and bubble gum, right? Yeah, and duct tape, right? Like, you're just kind of.
What are
sort
you sticking together, by the way, these days?
Well, I'm helping my son make a little project for school for next week. So that's where we're using.
Is it just
using
a giant ball of duct tape and bubble gum?
No, it's a shoebox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's going to be in there?
He's doing like a little rabbit pen to show
that's nice.
Yeah, it's he's basically talking about convincing his parents to get him a rabbit. That's not going to happen.
You're not a pet family at all, apart from the cat?
Yeah, I wonder, like, if the cat would eat the rabbit.
Interesting. Did you want to maybe interview the cat and talk about that later?
She'll just meow at me or just vomit up something.
I was going to say it's 50-50.
Yeah.
No, the internet's super annoying. Yeah. Modularity, super annoying. The Internet of Things, super annoying.
Certain things, I'm, even though, like, I love tech, and I know you love tech, but we're kind of Luddites in certain regards. You more than me, but in some things, like, for example, I like real books. I don't like reading on my iPad. I've tried it. I'm still going to stick to real books.
Certain books I prefer picking up, reading. Certain books I don't mind on the iPad.
The thing is I like to read before bed, and reading on an iPad is not great for sleep.
I find it super helpful, though, for me.
Yeah?
But that's just, I'm different, yeah. I'm just built that way.
I wouldn't mind like a Kindle with e-ink, right? Like, that'd be kind of neat to have, but it's just like a unitasker at that point.
Big dreams right there, Angela.
Yeah.
To close things off, we did get some listener feedback from one of our favorite listeners, Trish, talking about tech and things like that and phones. She said, the only 21st century tech I have is an Android 10 that I paid $50 for at a Dollar General, and it only costs $20 a month. It has 5 gigs, and 2 is the most I've ever used. So there we go.
That's data? Like 5 gigs of data?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not too bad. $20 a month for 5. Knowing what I know about the States right now, someone should correct me if I'm being wrong, but it's not too bad.
Hey, dude.
Obviously, things could always be better. Things could always be at the Asian level of things.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty happy with my data plan. I pay $35 for 55 gigabytes now, so that's pretty great.
Yeah, and your kids are just playing Fortnite all the time on it, right?
Always. My wife, too.
What is one thing that you think that you would want to bring into the house that is part of the Internet of Things?
Oh, it's hard because, like, right now I'm kind of – I have, like, an adverse reaction to this stuff because of how easily it breaks. But, like, I like – although it's badly portrayed in the article we're going to put in our show notes, I would love to have blinds that go up and down when it's time for them to go up and down. I kind of like that.
What about a smart mirror?
Definitely not.
No? You don't want to see what you look like at different clothing styles and things like that?
Do you mean like he had in the rehearsal?
Like the fake mirror?
Yeah, Nathan Felder had, like, to show him how we would look like when he was old.
Yeah, right. All I'm saying is that, like, this is the least invasive Internet Things that, like, at its core, the mirror works, you know, so this is additive, right? It's not a new way of opening your door that is infinitely hackable. Like, we talked about that, you know, last week with the Ioniq 5 cars, right? It's just, there are easy ways to gain entrance, right? I'm still relatively happy with the key system we have in the home.
I did try a smart lock a couple years ago. They don't do well when it goes to minus 20.
I was about to say, like, the crazy weather conditions definitely do not help.
Not helped at all, because I fixed my door perfectly, and the smart lock was working great for a week when it was above zero. So above zero meaning above freezing. So what would, like, that's 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So, like, when it's in, like, moderately nice temperatures, it's great. And then as soon as it gets really cold and the wood starts, like, warping, the smart lock did not work anymore. Luckily, it happened 2 weeks after I'd bought it, and Amazon just took it back.
Perfect. So you weren't accidentally trapped in the home for days at a time?
No, I would
have. I mean, obviously, you have a back door and things like that, I know, but I'm just saying, like,
actually, the back door doesn't unlock from outside, so that would have been problematic. But
So you'd have to have a one-in-one-out system, kind of like prison, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't unlocking, it wasn't locking, right? So, like, it would get stuck because you'd open the door, and then when you'd leave, you just hear the mechanics cranking and trying to push itself into the wall, not working.
Well, at least you are free now, which I'm very happy to hear.
Yeah, it went back to regular old dumb locks with
back
keys.
Back to traditional, right?
And it did work as a traditional lock, which is why I purchased this one. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of spending $200 on a smart lock is so that it does what it's supposed to do. And this, it couldn't really work with my door.
And it did not do that.
Did not do that.
Did you do any research ahead of time, though?
I did. And I know people that have it.
Did no one complain about that?
No. Well, I think it's also just the way my door is. So it, I feel like where... The way my
Your door is not like other girls.
My door is not great. Like, it needs to be probably recalibrated, I guess, but it works fine in most situations.
I mean, the good news is there that you are now free to come as you want.
Yeah, most of these things are made for California, let's face it.
Not this horrible northern climate.
No.
Speaking of horrible things, Angel, let us head on over to the paranormal side of things.
Great.
What could space be? What could it be made of? What the heck is all those lights out there? Is it just a black curtain with holes in it? I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
Double Density.
Welcome back to Double Density. As always, we're switching gears from tech to the paranormal, so we only have one thing on the dock this week. March 8th. Marked a pretty grim 10th year anniversary. It is the 10th year anniversary of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 going down, right? So this was a Boeing 777, so larger than a 737, 747, heading from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing and then deviated. And then, unfortunately, 239 people from 15 different countries have lost their lives. And I wanted to take a moment to just talk about how much we know about Earth and how much we actually don't know about planet Earth, right? Because one of the bigger issues here is that they're still 10 years out, about to launch, a new search operation. And yet we are still not that much closer of understanding, like, one, what happened, but then two, where this plane actually is, right? Because the seas are so vast and sometimes very deep that you can't easily cover these things. And I find it, unfortunately, like, grimly fascinating that even with all this age of, like, technological marvels, something like this still can occur. And even though we've had a decade's worth of technological innovation, we haven't been able to use tech in a way to facilitate making this search easier, from what I understand.
It makes me think of when I was a kid and they actually finally found the Titanic.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable at the time because it was down where there was so much pressure. And that's probably the case here, except that they had a really good idea of where the Titanic was. Whereas in this case, it can be anywhere over thousands of square miles of ocean that just could be anywhere. And they haven't found much. Pieces wash up on beaches randomly. Something that I saw in the things we read about is that now they're going to try and use the barnacles they're finding on these random pieces of debris to kind of zero in on where they can actually continue to search. And that's kind of incredible that they can do that.
Yeah, there's been stuff that's been washing up on the shores of Madagascar. There was something that ended up in Mozambique. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, different places that this debris has ended up in. It's like kind of like a wide perimeter of places, you know, going from Tanzania to Mozambique to Madagascar to all these different places that don't really necessarily help triangulate the situation. And there's as usual, there are always a ton of conspiracy theories about this, right? And we talked about this briefly, I think, in a couple of episodes. But, like, the idea that, like, you know, this plane was, like, hijacked, or that this plane was – one of the crazier things, of course, that we talked about is actually, like, that it was taken by UFOs, right? Like, another quite crazy one, or was, like, downed by a UFO.
Well, there's that video of those three orbs going around it. And then it just disappears in – like a weird.
I think we talked about this. We talked about that angle of it when we talked about the Netflix documentary that came out.
Yeah. And you see that they have this from two different angles. And in the show notes, I'll put a link to these VFX guys that go over it and handily debunk it in a great way. Because it's such a ridiculous theory that it's just disrespectful to what happened. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories around it, though. The paranormal ones are really wonky, like, for example, the UFO one. There's another one I read about how people are insisting that this is on the exact opposite side of the world of where the Bermuda Triangle is. And I guess you can kind of do that no matter where, right? Like, you kind of, like, aim the Bermuda Triangle upwards or downwards.
Oh, I see, like a laser.
To the other side of the Earth and say, well, see, it's on the other side exactly.
Right.
Well, I
right.
guess, but that's not exactly how oceans
Well, also,
work.
Like the Bermuda Triangle, we've definitively have let everyone know in an older episode, they're like, that is fake. That's a fake thing.
It's just a thing that was, exist. Yeah, it was just a creation to kind of explain away things going bad in the ocean with bad weather. Because
well, I was gonna say, like, it is a classic case of paranoia right there, right? Where it's just like this idea of like, how do we tie all of these like really unfortunate circumstances together? Well, it's, you know, it's one geography, right? But beyond that, like, how do you ascribe meaning to geography in a way that like makes sense? Is this weird conspiracy?
Of course, because that's what makes our minds happy. We see faces on Mars, we see faces on the moon. Yeah. We see triangles.
We believe that, you know, there are different zones in the ocean that cause plane instrumentation to go wonky. Therefore, like, this is the cause of all of these different unfortunate accidents. Never mind the fact that, like, you know, it's weather conditions plus, like, shoddy maintenance schedules, right? Like, you know, like, for example, like, we still have problems with planes. Like, Alaska Airlines yet again had another problem with a plane this week.
Did their door fly open again?
No. Here, hold on. I'm going to look this up. Here, Alaska. Oh, open cargo door. That's it, with pets inside.
Oh, that's great.
I think we landed the plane.
My wife and child are presently on an airplane as we record this.
Yeah, but they're not on Alaska Airlines.
No, I don't even know what they flew there with Air Transat, and they were flying back with some other company. I'd never heard of.
I told you, right? The budget airline that, so my wife and I've never been to LA. I've wanted to go all my life, and we found a really great deal, and the airline shut down.
Oh, that sucks. So, I guess it's better it shuts down before you go than
well. A lot of people were complaining in the Instagram post that they had made about shutting down imminently. They're like, "Hey, I have a flight tomorrow. What am I supposed to do here?"
Wow.
So that is unfortunate. But that is one of the realities when you deal with, you know, all these regional carriers.
Okay, let's back to the show. What were
you... back to the topic at hand. And I think like a lot of these conspiracies, right? That you know, there's a plane hijacking. They're one of the pilots decided to do it. Like, there's all these like different divergent and convergent conspiracy theories that ultimately just try to make sense of a tragedy where there's like a lot of missing pieces, right? So it's a lot of filling in the blanks, presumably depending on how you feel about certain things, right? You know, like, for example, like, if this were a terrorist hijacking, then like, why hasn't someone claimed responsibility?
Yeah, I think that's been ruled out, though. There's been other ones where everybody lost consciousness, but it makes no sense, because if that was the case, the plane would have just kept following the program trajectory where it actually did a massive turn. And this brings up one of the more frightening theories, is that the captain decided to do this.
I watched another documentary, not the Netflix one, like years and years ago, where like the police had found that he was using flight simulators and like had chartered all these like different weird flight paths similar to this one.
Yes, Nick Crowley has a video about it in his darkest YouTube channel.
I love Nick Crowley.
Yeah, his voice. He just it's just
him and Nexpo. I can watch those all day.
Yeah, and it is creepy what he points out, in that he had spent time on YouTube talking about his simulation, and when it was looked at, one of the simulations was the trajectory that you see the plane take.
Yeah.
And the concern is that the captain decided to commit suicide and just take everybody with him.
Yeah. One of the reasons I brought this up, though, is because like this is kind of like one of these like imperfect mysteries, right? Where there's a lot of clues, a lot of different kind of suggestions. There's a more likely suggestion. Then there's all these other ones. And, of course, the crazier ones, like the inverse Bermuda Triangle, zone of
you've got mail.
It makes no sense. And it makes no sense, obviously, right? UFOs kidnapping them, which is really weird.
Yeah. So then my central question to you, then, another reason I want to talk about this, and by the way, thank you to listener Danny and friend Danny, who suggested that we talk a bit about this. The more I ruminated on this, I was like, how do you make sense of an imperfect mystery, right? Like, and I think this ties back to ideas, you know, things like cryptids, UFOs, et cetera. Like, how do you reconcile what you believe with the missing blocks of something tragic or something that fundamentally changes you, right?
it just becomes frustrating and unsatisfying, right? The whole point of a mystery is once you discover what the mystery was, whether you're right and wrong, there's a bit of satisfaction there of, okay, now I understand what happened. But with this, on top of it being a horrible tragedy, especially for those involved and for those that lost loved ones, there's no closure because it's just out in the open.
And that's something we've talked about, right? The idea of needing closure, right? And I think that a good example of that is like when you see a spirit of a loved one who has passed, right? Mm-hmm. Is this closure or is this your brain playing a trick on you to force the conversation about your trauma or grief?
Yeah, exactly. The brain does a lot of stuff to protect itself from itself. And that's part of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I kind of find it interesting because a lot of that does happen in the unconscious, like within your dreams. But then sometimes it leaks out into your conscious day, right? The idea that you're going through your day and you have this apparition, you have this vision of something otherworldly, something that you did not expect to see, something that you cannot explain, that represents this like set of emotions you have within you, right? And I think that like, you know, unfortunately in this case with all of these people who have passed, there's a lot of grief there. There's a lot of trauma there. And it's super hard to reconcile, right? Like you never can really come all the way. Even knowing the truth sometimes isn't just enough, right? Like if they definitively found the plane and were able to ascertain what exactly had happened, even then there's always questions in terms of motives and things like that. Or even just like if it's mechanical failure, then like what led to the mechanical failure? What was the mindset of these people working on the plane before this happened? And there's all these like X factors that you can't control. And making peace with it is hard, I would imagine, right? Like I've been very lucky in my life. I haven't had to deal with many of these issues, but I can't imagine what it's like when someone has to go through this and then trying to reconcile or piece together a theory, you know, with a working conclusion in order to bring some closure to yourself about someone that you fundamentally care about a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like that was one of the things that left me with the... I didn't like the Netflix documentary, right? As you're watching it, you know, you're interested in what's happening, but once it ends, there's no satisfying conclusion and you're just left sort of sad.
Yeah. And like I think about this too, like I was recently talking to Ellie of the Devil's Restaurant about the smiley face killer theory, right? And then, you know, once again, it's like, is it pareidolia? Like is it just, you know, grief-stricken parents and loved ones trying to make sense of someone's senseless murder by building it into a framework that already exists of this like archetypal type of murder, right? And it's a very, you know, grief does weird things to people, right? So rushing to conclusions about, you know, something that has happened to a loved one, I mean, you can understand exactly why it happens.
Definitely. You know, people, even when there was, you know, somebody would get sick of something or whatever after getting a COVID vaccine. Well, it was the vaccine, right? Like that's what caused it.
Yeah.
So blaming that for everything where maybe, but, you know, correlation is not causation.
I was going to say, there's so many X factors involved in every single person's life that it's hard to just zero in on a commonality like that, especially when it's not like a reproducible hypothesis. Like, unfortunately, a lot of this is like, you know, like you can't reproduce murder, unfortunately, or slash fortunately, depending on how you want to view that one, right? So you can't really just say it's because of this or because of this trend or because of this person necessarily a lot of the time when you don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, even just trying to figure out who certain serial killers are, right? Like we still don't know who the Zodiac killer was.
No, we don't.
And there's lots of unsolved crimes out there that we're never going to probably find the solution to, or something like Roswell, right? Like, you know, let's go beat that dead horse. Some of us are satisfied with what the government told us, right? It was Project Mogul. They couldn't talk about it for 50 years and they finally divulged it. But others are going to say, well, no, that's just more of the same cover-up they tried in the 40s.
I was going to say another thing to look at that is less harming to other individuals is D.B. Cooper, right? Like, for example, we don't know who D.B. Cooper is.
That's something that's actually fun because was anybody hurt with that apart from people getting their money robbed? No.
No.
That was just something crazy that happened. And based on what I saw, it was actually Loki.
I like that you said that with such conviction. I almost wanted to believe what you were saying there.
I had a good laugh. We had talked about watching Aquaman last week and at one point, he calls his brother Loki. And I thought that was funny.
And you agree with it?
I thought that was funny, yes.
Anyways, fascinating things to think about, of course, with a subject like this, right? So, you know, the 10th anniversary, we don't have any more answers than we did before. Hopefully some of the new searches will unveil some stuff that will ultimately bring like more closure to these people. It's never easy.
No, definitely not. We'll never know what happened.
I also have an innate anger, like we were talking about the orbs VFX things before. Like, I just have an innate anger of like people making this kind of stuff up and then like propagating it as like a source of truth, right? And it's not.
And if you watch the video that I'll put in the show notes, there's a UFO believer on there who is adamant that it's real. Even once
it's clearly
pointed out to him that this is a template that was used. He found the template that they used for the portal that opens up.
Yeah.
But he said, no, it's not the same.
If you've listened this far, thank you for hanging out with us, I think, right? It's just been
Saturday afternoon.
Introspective episode. Yeah, exactly.
Saturday afternoon. Kind of gloomy out there. We're springing forward tomorrow at the time.
Yeah.
I've already sprung the cat forward, by the way. I moved her food dispenser up an hour.
Oh, I thought you meant you threw her around a little bit more.
No, I would never do that.
Get her more like nimble.
No, she's actually relatively nimble for an almost 12-year-old cat. She's 11 and a half, I guess.
Right. Angela, where can people find us?
They can go to doubledensity.net. There's lots of links there. You can fill out a form like Trish did and send us an email. And we'll read it on the show, usually. If it's something we want to talk about, we'll be happy to read about it.
Yeah, send us your S-tier spam, too. We'll definitely read some spam out
there. Spam is fun to read, too.
You can also find us over on socials, over on Threads and Instagram as Double Density Podcast. And then over on X, where I've pretty much stopped posting it under double_density. As Angela mentioned, you can head over to doubledensity.net or just send us an email directly, doubledensitypodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Subject line, Brian stop or Angela stop or Angela start or Brian start. We'll definitely respond to pretty much all of that stuff.
And give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We don't mention that enough, but
no more than five.
Yeah. Just five.
Just a straight five. Yeah, exactly. This has been it for episode 262 of the Double Density Podcast. Tune in next week as I figure out new insidious ways in which I plan to trap Angelo within his own home. Angelo, I will literally see you in your home.
Can't wait.